Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Hey, I'm your host, Jeffrey D. Calhoun, and I have some incredible news. TheSuccessfulScreenwriter.com is officially live. We're moving to a monthly subscription with both free and paid options, all of which have the benefits of group discussions, reviews, seminars, Academy Award-winning screenplays, and even open writing assignments from producers. As a monthly member of TheSuccessfulScreenwriter.com, you'll be able to join our monthly screenwriting competition where the winner can have their work presented to a talent manager. Go to the Successful Screenwriter website today for access to live interviews with producers, directors, and award-winning writers. All you have to do is go to thesuccessfulscreenwriter.com and join the community that helps you develop. Join us today for your chance at community, opportunity, and education. Now, on to the show. All right, welcome to the Successful Screenwriter Podcast, where we discuss anything and everything screenwriting. Here we interview successful screenwriters and filmmakers to find out just what it takes to make it in the industry. All right, welcome to the podcast. Returning guest and my friend, Paul E. Zeidman. Paul has written a book, Go Ahead and Ask, which is a series of interviews he's done with screenwriters, consultants, and screenwriting mentors, instructors. It's fantastic. Paul, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thanks, Jeff. It is so lovely to be here, and it's great to see you again. This is, I think, our possibly third interaction, at least in this format.
Yeah, you're dangerously close to becoming a regular on this show. So Go Ahead and Ask. I remember when you and I were chatting a while ago, and you're like, yeah, I was thinking about writing this book and basing it on all of these awesome interviews done. And I was like, go for it. I'm so glad that you did it, because this is awesome.
Well, thank you. This was, as we were talking just before we started, yeah, this was a real experience for me. So just to give the thumbnail background about this. So yeah. I run the screenwriting blog, Maximum Z, and I've been doing that since 2009. So about, oh, wow, it's almost like 8 years ago now. The way I do my blog is that when I first started, it was almost like a journal. Like, here's my journey towards becoming a working screenwriter. And it was about, oh, this is how it went with this script. And, oh, I sent out some queries, et cetera, et cetera. And as a writer does, when they're not writing, they tend to surf the internet quite a bit.
And while they're writing, too.
Well, yeah, that too. Or when they should be writing is probably the better way to put it. That I tended to notice that I kept seeing mentions and sometimes ads for script consultants.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, there's a lot of script consultants out there. And I thought, if I had the chance to ask a script consultant, if I had to got to sit down for them for be like 5 or 10 minutes, what would I ask them? Because it's you know, you don't want to be that person who's like, oh, how do I get an agent? Or you know, how do you write a script? Because everybody does that sort of thing. But I thought, well, what are some things that would really help me as a writer? And so I came up with this list of 10 questions. What would I ask someone? And so originally it was going to be 5 consultants. But the more research I did trying to find consultants, the more consultants I found. So it started out as 5 and it ended up being 50. That just gives you an idea of how many consultants are out there.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's been, as I said, a couple of years since I started this. So some of them have since stopped doing consulting, and unfortunately a few of them have passed away. But I started reaching out and just said, this is who I am. I have this blog, it's about screenwriting, and I wanted to, can I do this interview with you? I send you the questions, you send me the answers, and that's it. And I, like 95% of them said, sure, that sounds great.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to make it unique so that they knew it was from me, not just some average Joe screenwriter who just had questions. So I came up with the questions, as I said, they were like, and I thought, well, because these are people too, they're not just faceless names that you see online. So I thought, well, what's something you've watched or read recently? Because people are doing that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like, how did you get your start? Because everybody has a different path about how they got to where they are today. And then it was also about, you know, about writing in general. Do you think it can be taught or learned? Can you learn how to be a good writer? And what are some components of a good script? And when I first started, one of the questions was like, what are three guidelines or three rules every writer should know? And a few people actually had issue with that. They said, well, there are no set guidelines.
Yeah. It's,
you know how it is.
Yeah.
And also a contest, yes or no, and how can people get in touch with you? But I wanted to put my own personal spin. Now, people who know me, I love to cook. I love to bake. I love to, when I'm not writing or taking care of my family, I'm the one making dinner.
Awesome.
And I will proudly admit it here. I love pie. it's not easy to make a good pie, especially from scratch. So I thought, because again, these are people, everybody likes different things. And one of my dad's sayings that he came up with a long time ago, it just always stuck with me. He said, life is short, so eat dessert first.
That's cute.
It's great. It's great. So I just thought, well, I didn't want to ask someone, what's your favorite food? Because that's too general. So I thought, and what's your favorite dessert is also too widespread. So I narrowed it down. So I just said, what's your favorite kind of pie? And so many people in their written responses, they were like, I've never been asked that in a screenwriting interview. I've never been asked that in an interview before.
Yeah.
And more than a handful said, this is the best question ever.
Yeah,
so that
it's
was
awesome.
Really nice. So as I said, so I got all of these responses. And so from 2014 through 2015, I posted an interview a week. So it almost went a year.
Wow.
And the responses were great. People were finding out about these consultants. Like some of them are very well known, who'd been around for a while, like Pilar Alessandra and Lee
Jessa.
Yeah, she's
so great.
Yeah. Right. They already have great outlets for their information. But I kept finding more and more consultants. I thought, why not give them their chance to be in the spotlight for a little bit as well? So I just had all of these consultants. So after the 50th interview was posted, I thought I'd really like to put these together in a collection because I already have them on my blog where you can read them. But I thought that it'd be really cool to have them in a book form. So if you just wanted, like, hey, I remember what this guy said or what this woman said about character or about theme and conflict, so many of the consultants cover so many great topics that screenwriters really need to keep in mind. So I wanted to put it out as a book, but as I said, I had a huge list of consultants and I had more people who I wanted to do interviews with.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? Okay, I posted 50 interviews. So I think I could probably get to 100 interviews. And then when I get to interview number 100, then I'll put it out as a book. So that took a little longer than I wanted. But the second half of that 100, the second 50, it not only was a consultant, I had some filmmakers. I had a playwright. I had a couple of people who write for comic books and web comics. And it was just so really about writing and storytelling, not just for screenwriting. However, the tips and advice and guidance that these people who work in other mediums that they were providing, so applicable to screenwriting.
Well, I want to talk about this for a second because first of all, your Maximum Z blog, people need to follow it because it's a top 50 screenwriting blog. It's pretty amazing. So if you're not following Paul's blog, get on Maximum Z. But
yeah, what he said.
This book, I'm pitching you, man. So this book is so cool. Look, I've got a screenwriting book that's out there, and I know when you are creating something for a niche, you want to cover something that hasn't been done before. There's a million screenwriting books, and a lot of them all say the same thing. So you want to find something unique. There is nothing like this. That is why it is so cool. There is not another compendium of screenwriting gurus, masters, instructors that all come to, that are all brought together in a book like this that you can go through and then just read experiences and knowledge from these writers. It's so amazing. Like, this is great. And I think this is something that any writer needs to read, because you can sit there and you can go, well, I want to look at Pilar Alessandra. I want to look at Steve Kaplan in comedy. And you just bam. Mm-hmm. And then you just get like three pages on what their experiences are, what their knowledge is. And then you can go further from there. You could, oh, well, maybe I'll look at Kaplan's book. Maybe I'll go to On the Page. So mm-hmm. it is a great vehicle to use as a reference as well. I think it's brilliant. Do you have more volumes that you're thinking about doing?
Well, as you noticed on the title, I'm going to hold it up here because I always have a copy handy at my desk.
It says
volume one. Yeah. And so as we were talking about, so it was going to be 100 interviews. So yeah. I put this all together. I had it all documented on Google Docs and all that. So I tried to put the book together myself, and self-publishing is
it's tough, man.
That's not a mountain. That's a vertical climb. It is not easy. And I went to one of these sites that said, oh yeah, it's super easy. You can do it all yourself. I had a terrible time with it. I was running into problems left and right. And when I would contact the company, they said, oh yeah, this is what you do. And I said, well, I tried that. It didn't work. And they would never get back to me.
Well, there are a lot of them are predator sites as well. Yeah. So they want to take 95% of any revenue you make from it. You know what I mean?
That doesn't surprise me. So, yeah. But long story short, so I'm in a writing group, and one of the other members, she has published, I think, 10 of her own books.
Oh, okay.
And so I was, it was a, like, hey, how are things going with all of your projects? And I mentioned this problems I've been having putting this book together. She said, oh, I can help you. And aww, she did.
That's
and she
great.
And so I sent her the document I had of all the interviews. And so she put it all together and reformatted it. I always have a problem with that word, reformatted it. And she came back to me and said, okay, it's great content. It looks great. The only thing is that I put it together on Google Docs, and it was an 8.5 by 11 page. But if you shrink that down to 6 by 9, which is the size of the book,
right?
That book suddenly becomes 750 pages long. So that's like the phone book. For those of a certain age. So she said, how do you feel if we split it into two? And I said, hey, that's fine. So we did some tinkering and finagling. And she said, still good, but each one's going to be about 325, 350. And she said, that's still kind of big. How would you feel if we split it into three? And
I
said,
love it.
That's perfect. And so that's what we did. So the first book is like 212, 220, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's a nice length. You can flip through it. It's mm-hmm. not overwhelming. And I yeah. like that. That's how my book is. It's something that when you look at it, you're like, yeah, I can read that.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing is each interview runs about maybe like 4 to 7 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Around. So about 5-ish pages. And it's not going to take you that long to read each one. And so one of the things I've noticed is that a lot of screenwriting books are about here's how you write a script. And here's yeah. what you can. And I know that's the kind of like what yours is.
Yeah.
And here's what you can do after you write the script. So mine is more. So these interviews are really more about, OK, you already know how to write a script. Here's how you can make it better. Here's yeah. how you can improve what you already have, or here's something to help help steer you along a stronger path, make it a little bit better for you yeah. as you're going.
Punch it
so
up.
It, as you said, it's a resource. It's a reference book to really help improve what you already have, because a lot of screenwriters, when they start out, they'll buy the basic books about yeah. how to write a script. This one is more about, okay, you've got a script, or you're in the process of writing a script. Here's how you can make it better as you go.
I love it. And I think it's good also because it introduces you to people in the industry. So you get to learn about, you mm-hmm. know, all of these different like people that have podcasts that you can listen to, or like you said, other blogs, and then you can go, oh, okay. So there's this person that's really interesting. And they happen to have a course I can look at. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it is opportunity for you if you're a casual writer, or if you're in it as a hobbyist, amateur, burgeoning, semi-professional, you can look at this thing and go, okay, where can I go from here? And it does give you that bump. And I really like that. So what is your schedule looking like, volume two and volume three?
Well, I have been in touch with my editor. So this book, volume one, came out mid, late April, and it's been doing okay. Please buy it. There's the plug. So right now, originally volume two was going to be late June, early July. But right now, I think it's going to be closer to late July, which okay. is fine.
Yeah.
And volume three originally was going to be like mid, late September. So it's either going to be late September or early October, because we wanted to space them out a little bit.
Yeah.
But what's also really good is that so they're available in paperback and an ebook, and with volume three coming out when it does, early fall, that you've read the first volume and you really yeah. like it. So mm-hmm. I really love that. And I appreciate that you're recommending it. So if there is a screenwriter in your life who, if they're of the mindset of, oh, I don't really need another screenwriting book, but depending on their experience level, these three together, it's a great, as you said, it's a great resource for yeah. any writer to have. And here's the big plug. It makes a great holiday gift.
There you go.
So what you have a screenwriter in your life. What do I get them for the holidays? Hey, there are these three great books that you can get them.
And no, I think it's good.
Yeah. So so that's where we are right now. And I will also mention that volume two and volume three also feature an interview with a writer that we both know named Jeff Calhoun.
I'm honored, sir. Thank you.
Well, because the first one I think was about you.
Yeah.
And the first one was We Fix Your Script.
Right.
I'm sorry. WeFixYourScript.com. And the second book was about the second interview was about your book, because I remember when you released it that's one of the things is that I love networking with other writers. I love getting to know other writers because everybody has a great experience with their process. And I love reading other stories and just I like getting to know people. Well, And so when I found out, at first, I think I found you through your site. And then when you were coming out with the book, I was like, oh my God, I have to talk to Jeff about this because a lot of screenwriting books, some of them have been around for a long time. You know, you've got Robert McKee and Linda Seeger and Sid Field. But I think the basics for those still apply, but there's a different approach to screenwriting now than there was say 30, 40 years ago when some of these books came out. So when you have someone like you who has a book that comes out that's a lot more modern, it talks about it's not just about the writing, but it's also about how the writer needs to approach marketing themselves.
Branding.
And branding.
Yeah.
That these are things those books do not cover at all. And so I think that's why it's really important for writers to take a look at the books that are out there, especially ones that have come out more recently, because they're a lot more applicable for what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I agree with you. Even books like Save the Cat, right? Even Save the Cat is getting dated. Mm. And so when I came out with The Guide for Every Screenwriter, I wanted to, okay, what can I do here? And the one thing I noticed was like, no one talks subplots. So I was like, okay, ooh, I'm gonna teach subplots because that's what I teach, and I'm gonna show how it intersects with the main plot. Nobody does that. And then branding is the other note I get from writers who read the book. They all go, I never even thought about branding myself as a writer. And I'm like, it's quintessential to how you find success. I mean, we're talking right now, Maximum Z, right? People know who you are through your blog because you've created that online persona, so people understand it. Otherwise, it just doesn't work in today's society. And that's not stuff that you find back in the day. So yeah, those are the big notes I've gotten. And I actually have, I'm actually working on the second edition right now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, that's all you're going
to
say right now.
I just sent it I sent it to my editor. We were talking about editors, right? So my editor makes me look smart. So my editor, right now is going through it and punching it up so that I look like I know what I'm doing. So yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's right. I want to briefly touch on what you just mentioned about branding, that I assume a lot of writers who are listening that they're on LinkedIn, but are they on LinkedIn for their day job or are they on LinkedIn as a screenwriter? Because when I originally set up my LinkedIn account, it was about, because I did the writing for business and also I'm in radio. So I had a lot of non-screenwriting stuff on my LinkedIn page and it really wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine who had some contest success, he actually went back, totally revamped his LinkedIn page. So it was all about screenwriting. And I thought, why am I not doing that?
Absolutely.
And so that's what I did. I went back, I severed a lot of connections that were not writing based. I mean, I'm glad you're a real estate agent in Ohio, but that's not going to help me with trying to become a screenwriter. And so I cut down my connections and it was all about screenwriting. And I put, here's my contest accomplishments. Here are my scripts. Yeah. Here's the title, the log line, the genre. And I've had more connections come through that way. And a lot of the connections who come in are people who are also interested in writing. And sometimes I'll send a connection request to like a manager or a producer or a director. And not all of them respond, but that's okay. So earlier this week, I got an email from a producer in the UK. And she said that she found me on LinkedIn because of screenwriting. And she really liked some of my concepts. And she said, could you send me a script?
That's great.
And I said, which one? Because I've got like eight. Yeah. And she said, whichever one you're most proud of. And there's one I have, but that I can't really do anything with that one right now. So I sent her this other one. And she wrote back, said, this looks really cool. I can't wait to read it. These are the things that I actually specialize in. And it was comedy and drama. And I actually said, I have two comedies.
Great.
And so I said, here's the 5-second pitch for each. She said, they both sound great. Send those two.
Oh, I love it, Paul.
So I sent her three scripts. And so here's the thing. So I tweeted about it, just saying, I said, if something happens with it, great. And if not, that's the way it is. It's just nice that somebody noticed me. It's as someone said, it's a very Zen approach. And so I tweeted about that. And it exploded on Twitter. All people like saying, oh my God, that's fantastic. And yeah, some like, say, how did you do that? And a few people actually asked, this is going back to the branding, how did you accomplish that on LinkedIn? And I said, because my LinkedIn profile is all about screenwriting.
Yeah.
And you have to really not fudge the truth, but you really have to emphasize all the positive things that you have to offer.
Well, I mean, you're pitching yourself, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
So even if you're a developing writer that's getting their stuff out there, I mean, that's what you're, and you're absolutely right. Like, guys, LinkedIn and Twitter are like your screenwriter's best friend. Facebook, I haven't found is really that great. I mean, sure, it was first on the scene, but I haven't really found Facebook to be anything that moves the needle. Instagram and TikTok for me haven't done anything, but I swear to God, Twitter and LinkedIn is like the secret weapon.
Yeah, because a lot of people on the business side of the industry, they're on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Yeah.
They're not really going to be on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok that much.
Yeah.
Because those are skewing a little younger, I guess is the best way to say it. He said, as a man of a certain age.
I love it.
But because some of the connections I've received have been through LinkedIn because there's been people within the industry and Twitter that a lot of writers use that as a marketing tool. I know one writer, I don't know if he's based in Massachusetts. He had some good scores on the blacklist and he did well in Page, and he has a significant Twitter presence and that's great for him. And he got a manager last year and one of his scripts, actually, they just wrapped up production on it a couple weeks ago. So he's doing great. So yeah. And that's the thing is that I see a lot of writers on Twitter, I guess is the only way I can say it, they're about how their writing career sucks, or they're trying to get a writing career.
That's not the way to go about.
Yeah. Because my wife said to me, like, this was way back, like after I first started with Twitter, she said, don't put on negative things about yourself.
She's right.
Because that's what people are going to remember, that you can't say, oh man, I didn't do well in this contest and bad things and woe is me. That happens to everybody. But you can't emphasize that. You have to emphasize the positive, because everybody's going to have the negative, but the positive has a more positive impact on your perception.
And it takes 7 positive things to overwhelm 1 negative thing. That's the crazy thing. I mean, if you really look at it that way. So I also want writers out there to know it's so important that there is no shame in having a day job. At all. Like there's I see writers out there that, oh, I have a day job, so I'm not really a screenwriter. You are a screenwriter. If you're writing, you're pursuing their career, you've written stuff, you are a screenwriter. There is no shame in it. So if you're making a screenwriter profile or tweaking your profile as a screenwriter on LinkedIn, I don't care if you're a doctor. I don't care if you're, you know, waiting tables. It doesn't matter. You're a screenwriter, and there's no shame in tweaking your LinkedIn to do that. Own it. Own who you are. And you got to put food on the table. That's okay.
Okay. That is so true. And I have a great anecdote about what you just said, that many, many years ago, I was at a screenwriting expo type event in Los Angeles. Yeah. And Shane Black was one of the panelists.
Yeah.
And I forget what the question was, but the person was talking about how they were an aspiring screenwriter, or like, what advice did he have for an aspiring screenwriter? He said, I'm going to stop you right there. He hates it when a screenwriter calls himself an aspiring screenwriter.
Yes. Yeah.
To him, aspiring means you want to be a screenwriter.
Yeah.
He said, if you sit down in a chair and you actually work on a script, you're a screenwriter.
Absolutely.
Now, yeah, there's a difference between you and like someone who gets paid for it, but you're both screenwriters. Mm-hmm. So don't say you're an aspiring screenwriter. If you're writing scripts, you're working on scripts, you are a screenwriter. Call yourself a screenwriter.
Yeah.
People aren't going to say, well, you know, I always get this a lot. Have I seen anything you've written? And my standard answer is not yet.
You know, my answer is when people ask, I said a couple of people somewhere have heard of me. that's my answer.
Hey, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter by using my handle @screenwriterpod. And if you liked the show, please support it by subscribing and sharing the episode on your social media.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.